We're holding unclustered download on the Allah by the two dots in the middle of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about various cases where Shchutei Chutz and Halos, Chutz doesn't apply. And then we had three times Machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, about three cases where a Korban is temporarily not able to be brought. One where it's a Baal Mum over, where it has a temporary Mum. One where it's Torim, turtle doves that are not mature yet, where only mature ones can be brought to the Korban. Everybody agrees with these concepts, but we know that a Baal Mum you can't bring because the Torah says so. We know that Torim, we learn from Stokim over there. We learn that Torim and Bnei Yonah, we learn that Bnei Yonah have to be immature ones, but Torim have to be mature ones. And then we have the third case where the Korban is Mechusar's man, either because the animal itself is not 8 days old yet, or because there's some other factor preventing it. For example, Oseves Benoi, that its mother or child was stressed on the same day, or that the person themselves is Mechusar's man, because for example, we're talking about a Yoledes or Zava or what have you, who hasn't yet gone through their proper number of days of counting. So in all those three cases, Reb Shimon had said that if a person offers them outside the Azara, he's not Chayav Kares, but Reb Shimon says he's over on a lav, which would mean he'd get Malchus, and the Chachamim disagree with him and say that there's no statutory penalty for it at all. Because only when there's Kares, then there's a lav. When there's no Kares, they don't, that's the thing. They don't. They hold there's no lav in those cases. They hold, in other words, that sure, you're not allowed to do it. But there's no specific issue on it in the Torah. The person wouldn't get. He might get Malchus Maudus, Midrabbanim, but a punishment Midaraisa, Malchus, or let alone Chorus, or whatever, he wouldn't get. So, we have three times this Machlokes. Again, we had it in connection with a temporary Baal Mum, we had it in connection with immature Torim, and we had it in connection with Machlokes Mam. So why do we need to repeat the Machlokes three times? The Gemara says, but the Baal Mum and Kola is the rest of Kola. The Gemara says, it's tricky. We need to be told that Reb Shimon and the Chachamim disagree in all three cases. See, Tana Baal Mum, because if they only mentioned the first case of temporary Baal Mum, you would say, you know why the Rabbanan say he's completely potter for Shchutei Chutz Mishum Dimi'isi, because they're repulsive, they're why are they not to be brought as a korban? Because Hashem doesn't want them as a korban. Mashchot and Bahem, as the Pasuk says, like they're damaged goods, like the Pasuk says, the Baal Mum, we have an expression of Pasuk in Malachi, it's in that Torah, Parshas Tovah, Hakri Veyun Olav Pechasef. Would you offer such a thing to your governor? Would you offer such a thing, damaged goods, to your governor? So if you wouldn't offer it to a human governor, Allah has come to come, and you shouldn't be offering it to Hashem. So Baal Mum is one thing. Aval Turin, but when it comes to Turin, there's nothing mystic about an immature Turin, so there's a cause of it, you can't cook it. They kind of put together two different yisoyos over here. Ema loy, you would think that they don't argue with him. Maybe they would agree to the lav. Or ema moidu loy lirab shimon. Maybe they would be moidus lirab shimon. The chachamim, that would be a lav in that case. The e ton of turin, and then if you only have the case of the turin, of the immature turin, you would say, okay, the difference is mishum dele chazi the idchu. The difference is the turin. Why are they not usable as a korban? They have never been ready yet for a korban. There was never a time when these turin were suitable for a korban because they haven't grown up yet. Av baal mum, the ichdu v'ichdu, with a baal mum, it's the other way around. At one point, it was suitable for a korban, and it had a shat kosher in effect, yeah. And now it's pushed away because of the mum. So eventually the mum is going to heal. So again, then you would say the other way around. Maybe Reb Shimon would agree with the Chachamim that in that case, the fact that it was at one point acceptable and then pushed off maybe makes it weaker than the Turin. We're arguing that. We would say that in general, we have something that was nidah v'nidcha is weaker than something that was dochah v'ichra. Something that was originally not usable is in a stronger position than something that was usable and now is not, and maybe in the future will be again. So therefore,
something that's not usable
at all, such as the turin, is in a stronger position. Strong meaning that it was better off, kind of. It wasn't nidcha, it wasn't pushed aside.
Or not?
No, well, that's the point. We might think Reb Shimon might argue then that when it comes to the Turin, therefore they should be subject to a stronger ether, a lab, Malchus, when it comes because they were never near it in the first place, as opposed to the Balmum is near the mitzvah, maybe it's in a weaker position, maybe no ether applies to it at all, no lab at all, so therefore we need those fixes. The East Tanah Hamikarti, on the other hand, if we were only told those two cases of the Bali woman and the Turin, you would say the difference is Mishum Bistul Dugufaya. Fine, you would say, but the difference is in both of those cases, the Bistul is in the body of the animal or the bird itself. It has a mum or it's immaterial. Abel Osebestino, the Bistul and the Alma Kasi, when it comes to Osebestino, it's the other way around. The animal itself is perfectly intact. The problem is some external factor. Again, that the mother or daughter was shechted, or that the person themselves is not yet ready to bring their korban. Eimel modeler rabbanon with Rav Shimon. He would say maybe in that case that rabbanon would agree with Rav Shimon that in that case you should be over a lab for being matter of such things, because after all, again, you should argue they're in a stronger position. The korban itself is perfectly fine. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, we need all three cases. Tosfos doesn't say in so many words, but they seem to have an understanding of this last one the other way around. Because Tosfos points out that usually a psul in the actual body of a korban is stronger than a psul that comes is stronger and therefore makes the animal in a worse position than a psul that comes based on an external factor. The Tosfos learned the other way around, that it would be that if we
during birth of a bomb.
In other words, the way we have it in front of us in the Gemara over here is that the psul haguf, you would say that the Rabbanon hold there's no penalty for it. But psul me'alma, you would argue maybe there should be a penalty, there should be a lab. So Tosfos discusses maybe the other way around, actually, that the psul haguf is stronger, and therefore maybe the other way around. We would think in that case, if Shimon would agree with the Chachamim, where it's not a psul haguf, where it's a psul that comes to osi me'alma, that comes based on something else, maybe there would be no penalty.
Because
it's a weaker, right. Okay. Anyway, the point is, that's why we need all three machlokes. Okay. Then we have Shehoyer Rav Shimon Omer. So then, after we go through those three machlokes, then we continue in the Mishnah, that Rav Shimon says, he was the general rule, anything which is temporarily not usable as a korban, but later on will be usable, then a person is over on a lab and gets malchus for being master of it before. Is the loisa said that they invite chorus, and Macham said no, those two things are interdependent. No chorus, no loisa. Rav Shimon says there can be a lab without, in this case, without chorus. So my time is Rav Shimon. So what's Rav Shimon's reason? Amr of Ilo, Amr of Shlokesh, like the Amakra, the prophet says, and this is Parasha, loisa from the soil of Sharanatni Oisim Toy Hayyam. Moshe tells the Jewish people, don't do like everything that we're doing here today. Now, where's here today? When they're in the Midbar. The Mishkan is still thin. The Mishkan is still thin. And we know, we learned in the Mishnah, that no bomos are allowed anywhere else. You have to bring all your korbanos in the Mishkan. But, in particular, what it means is, therefore, as we're going to discuss, that it means all korbanos could be brought in the Mishkan. Whether voluntary korbanos, whether korbanos that a person is required to bring, such as a chata, private korbanos, public korbanos, all of them are being brought in the Mishkan. Now, so here, Moshe is telling the Jewish people, Loi Sassin, there's going to come a point when you're not going to be able to do, or you shall not do, everything that we do today. And he continues, Ish kol ha-yosha ba'enav, every person, whatever they see fit in their eyes. So what does that mean? Rashi explains like this. From Rashi brings from the Sifri that it means like this. Once you come into Eretz Yisrael, during the years when you're conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be allowed to have bomos. But at that point, because you're going to be allowed to have bomos, therefore that means that as we've discussed before, the central Mishkan now gets downgraded. Instead of being called the Mishkan, it's now called the Bom of Zola. And therefore, what it means is, at that point, it's downgraded as far as what kind of korbanos can be brought up. Ki amalahu Moshe l'Yisrael, and Moshe tells the Jewish people. Toy means here, right now, in the Midbar. Right now, here in the Midbar, you're bringing over here two things. You have whatever we do over here, which means korbanos that you're obligated to, And also we're bringing Ishkol HaYashaveinu, Korbanos that every person sees fit to bring on their own, Nedarim and Nedarim. When it comes, that's the point, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to that first period in Eretz Yisrael, when there's a Bama Zoylan or a Bama Sanit, you will only be allowed to do, not to Chol HaShar HaNachnu Oisim Poyayim, not all the Korbanos that we do today in the Midbar, only Ishkol HaYashaveinu, only the Korbanos that every person sees fit to bring, meaning Nedarim and Nedarim. Meaning, in other words, even chataris and hashamos cannot be brought on the bum of goat. It means amalahu marshal Israel. Ki I lived through la'aretz. When you come into Eretz Israel and you have those first few years, in the end it turned out to be 14 years, and you're conquering and dividing Eretz Israel, yisharei takivu. You will still be allowed to bring korbanos that a person sees fit to bring, namely the nedarim and nedarot, oila shlamin, etc. Chovos lo takivu. But any korbanos that a person is obligated to bring, you will not be allowed to bring them until, he continues in the next process, once you reach the menucha, which is when Mishkat Shila is set up, then you will be able to bring such korbanos. Meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, during those 14 years, if a person, let's say, was Machal Shabbos, or Eich Chelev, or became a Mitzvah, or what have you, and they have to bring korbanos, they will not be able to bring them even on the Bama Gdola in Gilgal. They will have to wait till the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh and then bring those korbanos. Because that's the point, in other words, that Moshe is telling them, you should know, the din of a Bama Gdola as regards korbanos Tzoveh is different than the din of the central Mizbeach. Even though it's the same physical Mizbeach and the same physical Mishkan, but it has different din. When it's considered the central Mishkan in Midbar and later on at Shiloh and later on the Beit Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, then you can bring both Mudavos and Chovos. But when it's in temporary quarters and it's not at that point considered a Mishkan, but rather a Bama Gdola in Gilgal and later on in Noiv and Givon, then Chovos are off limits. You'll have to wait and bring your Chovos until the next thing.
And then you can say the Mishkan in the desert was also temporary.
No, but the Mishkan in the desert is that was the central Mishkan for that time. I mentioned the other day that whenever the Aron was together with the Mishkan, it was considered it had the full status of the Mishkan. In the desert, the Aron was always with the Mishkan.
But what difference? Still temporary, they're moving from...
No, but actually, you know what, there's a Gemara someplace else, I don't remember where now, that mentions, because Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, because every time they pitched camp and every time they traveled was by specific command of Hashem, therefore every place they set up camp is considered for that, is considered permanent, is considered tavua, because it's Al-Pi Hashem. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so therefore, Yisharei Takrivu, Chovos Lo Takrivu, so Moshe tells us. So Moshe tells them, though, you should know, during that first period, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you will be able to bring Yeshore, Ishkola Yashaveinu, voluntary korbanos, but not chovos. And he continues, the Rish Lakish continues, the Gilgal Lagabesh Shiloh in the Chosez Manu. Now, in effect, what it means, therefore, is the period of Gilgal relative to Shiloh, which is where the Mishkan was next set up, and that was its next permanent place.
Just across
the Yarden, yeah. It's near, on the western side of the Yarden, yeah. It's near Yerichah, yeah. So that was their first headquarters in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. So Gilgal relative to Shiloh is considered Mechotah's Mam. In other words, because again, we're saying what happens, for example, a person, let's say, was obligated to bring a chakras during the period when the Mishkan was in Gilgal. He couldn't. He would have to wait till the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh in order to bring his chakras there. Therefore, it's considered Mechotah's Mam. It's considered that the time for bringing it has not arrived yet. It's similar in that sense to a Mithurda or a Zav or what have you, let's say, whose time, whose counting has not finished yet. He hasn't finished for 7 clean days. So, yeah. By the way, before we should point out, we're not talking about, for example, if a person, let's say, designated an animal for a korban at the beginning of the time of Gilgal, by the time Shiloh is set up, the animal 14 years old, more than possible for a korban, you can't bring that old animal. What we mean is, either because it's not like at the time when Moshe is telling this to the Jewish people, they don't know how long it's going to be in Gilgal. As far as they know, in the event it took 14 years, but it didn't have to. In fact, there's a passage in Yeshua that mentions that the Yeshua took a long time fighting against the king, and the Rashi brings over there from the Medrash that the passage is actually critical of him, that he took longer than necessary conquering the major part of Eretz Yisrael. So the point is, in the event it took 14 years, it didn't necessarily have to be. It could have been any day, it could have been much less, it could have been any day they're going to pack up from Gilgal and move to Shiloh. Or, They have to wait till the physical conquest is done, and also until the land was divided among the Shvatim.
And that's 14 years.
That's it. Also, in the event, that's a 14 years.
The military conquest is finished coming years before the 14 years.
7 of those years were a conquest, and 7 of it was a division. After that 14 years, because they had to map out the land and figure out what's worth, what's worth, whatever. That's how it is. The Gemara talks about in other places. But it didn't, again, it didn't have to be in to begin with. It's just that's the way it turned out. Second 7 years also, maybe they could have probably did that. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, there's also, let's say, for example, a person became obligated to bring a chatas and designated an animal for it shortly before the 14 years are up. And then, okay, you know, a couple of months later, it's moved to Shiloh. He could very well bring that same animal. Anyway, the point is, the Ka'amalahumo Shiloh Sassan. Now, the Shlokish says, so this is where Reb Shimon is getting his loisah set from. Because Moshe is telling them, do not do it. Implying another color. In other words, there's a law. There's a law to bring a korban that is Mechotah's none. So therefore, that's where Reb Shimon gets what he was saying in the Mishnah, that if the animal is not able currently to be brought to the korban for any reason, because the temporary Baal Mum, because the Torah that hasn't grown up yet, or because the person or the animal is Mechotah's none, then he says that's where we get a loisah. Because the Chum learn the word loisah differently. They could learn it's not allowed. They could say it's a statement of fact that such korbanos will not be brought during that period. They could understand that they could understand the pasuk to be meaning that the pasuk is telling us about when you're allowed to have bomits and when you're not allowed to have bomits. If you're going to say like that, if you're going to call the korbanos that were designated as the animals that were designated as korbanos while the Mishkan was in Gilgal, if you're going to call them Mechotah's man relative to Shiloh, milky nami milky, then if a person shechts such a korban in the Mishkan in Gilgal, he should get malchus. He should get malchus. In other words, because what do you say? So far, we've been talking about bringing korbanos outside the Mishkan or the Beit Mikdash. But now, if you're telling me a new thing, that the Mishkan in Gilgal, because it's not a full-fledged Mishkan, downgraded to a Bama Gdola, therefore, relative to Shiloh, it's considered, there that period, it's considered Mechotah's man, then in that case, by that logic, if a person were to, let's say, bring a chatas in the Mishkan in Gilgal, he should get malchus for it, by that logic, because Lois Sassen. It's a lab, but it should be like any other lab. Because he shechted it when it was in the wrong place. He shechted it when it was Mechotah's man in Gilgal outside the mid, rather than waiting for the Mishkan of Shiloh. Mechotah's man literally means that it's not the time to bring it yet, which we said in the Mishnah. That can either be because the animal itself is not mature yet enough, or because the person is not. Right. Alama Omer Reb Zera. So why do we find that Reb Zera says in a different context a cost of Nitzoy La'efter, that this concept of Mechotah's man is not the kind of lav for which you get Malkus, because the Torah changes it in effect to an Efter. Now, by the way, I mean, choice to point out, usually the expression Nitzoy La'efter throughout Shas usually means that you have a lav, but you're not supposed to do it. But if you did it, then here's how you fix it up with an Efter. You're not allowed to leave over from a korban, but if you do, then you fix it up by burning it. You're not allowed to steal, but if you did, the Heshev as a Zeta. Here, Hakosim Nikila Esa, Tosfa says, means something different. And it is, so Rashi explains the details, the Gemara in Cholin. So it's like it. The Mishnah discusses over there in Cholin. You have a whole parak over there about the Dinim of Oysev Esdemari that we mentioned briefly in our Mishnah, that was on the day that you're not allowed to shech a mother animal and a baby animal on the same day. The Mishnah mentions over there that if somebody does that with Kodshim, he would get Malkus because he's over on Oseh Espinot. So the Gemara asks over there, why doesn't he also get from a Mechotah's man? Once one animal was shechted, the other one is off limits as a korban for that day, based on what we're talking about here about Mechotah's man. If you're telling me that Mechotah's man is covered by a lois that's there, according to the Shimon, of course you can. Yes, you most certainly can. This is two different labs involved. You most certainly can. Issuchalal issu in some cases, yes. It sometimes depends. It's the kolol, it's the moisif, whatever the point is. Here you could argue it's Issur Basachas. You have the when he shechts it, he's committing two Issurim at the same moment. He's over on Oseh Espinot and he's shechting on Mechotah's man. Why doesn't he get Malkus for that also? So Reb Zera explains over there in that Gemara, because you have like this. It's true the Pasuk says Lois Sassan, that we're quoting over here. It's also true that you have it's also true, even according to Chachamim, you have a Pasuk in Parashat Emor, that says that any animal that is partial for a carbon, there's a law that's an eloyo rasa, so you're not allowed to bring it to the carbon. However, a few stricken later, it says regarding mechusas man, it says it in the form of an esa, that for 7 days you have to leave the baby with his mother, and on the eighth day you're allowed to bring, when you're first allowed to bring it to the carbon. So meaning that the Torah effectively has transformed Nitko, like it's pulled away this from being a regular run-of-the-mill lav and turned it into an essay instead. So therefore, if a person is makar a mechusas man, a regular kind of mechusas man, that is, an animal that's less than 8 days old, he's only over on an essay, says Rav Zera. He's not really over on a less than, also maybe, but not the kind that's mechayev and malchus. But based on what we're saying over here, if we're arguing that during the period of Gilgal it's considered mechusas man, and Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon is bringing a different pasuk in this connection. Rav Shimon is not bringing the regular pasuk lo yerasa that applies to all children. He's bringing a specific pasuk that he says applies to Gilgal relative to Shiloh, lo yisasun. That one's not nisik la'asa. That one you don't have any corresponding asa to transform it into. So then, why? Why isn't he get malchus? Well, we didn't. And when Rav Zera said "Akasim Nisker LaEsther," we assume he means according to everybody. We assume he means according to Chachamim and according to Rav Shimon. But according to Rav Shimon, at least in the case of Gilgal, that shouldn't work. The answer is you're right. Hani Mila LaRabbanim. You're right. When Rav Zera is saying he's not Chayav Malchus, would be only according to the Rabbanim. Rav Shimon Hachinami, according to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon learns that the loy sasu is referring to the specific type of mechusas man, Gilgal, relative to Shiloh. So yes, he would say that actually a person would get malchus for it, sure. Yeah. No proof. The point is, in other words, so we can still go with this explanation of Rav Shimon. Why is he saying in our Mishnah alav? Because loy sasu. Rav Nachman Yitzchakamar, Pim de Gilgal gavish Shiloh to chutzam. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, here's a different way of looking at it. Bringing a korban, even according to Rav Shimon, you wouldn't get malchus. Why? Not with the previous answer, because after all, Rav Shimon is learning from a different lab. Because Rav Shimon would say that besides you have the issue of mechusas man, because Gilgal is not yet the time to be bringing katois and ashamos and whatnot, you're supposed to be waiting for Shiloh. But besides that, also bringing it in Gilgal relative to Shiloh is not only a problem as far as time, it's also a problem as far as space, chutz. Because it's not a place that's kosher for bringing a chatas or an asham, therefore it's considered like shchita b'chutz. And therefore we go, well, no, in other words, in effect, therefore it's both. But what it means is therefore, only when it comes to real shchita chutz, do we have the loisess there? This is, in a way, it's chutz, but in a way, it's not. And the fact is, it is within the precincts of the Mishkan. So therefore, you're going to argue that according to Rav Shimon, he should get malchus because mechusas man, we're going to say, mechusas man, he agrees with the Chachamim that doesn't make a person chayv on a loisess. And as far, that doesn't make a chayv malchus, that is. And as far as the bachutz, it's not really bachutz. The fact is, it is within a Mishkan. Therefore, no malchus, even according to Rav Shimon. You were able to bring oilus and shlum, we said. You were able to bring only voluntary korbanos, oilus and shlum. You could not bring chatos or asham or any other korban that you're obligated to bring.
So why would not be malchus?
Because
we would say
Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying because you only have a loisess there when you do it outside of Mishkan. Here it is physically within a Mishkan. It's not the ultimate Mishkan relative to the one of Shiloh, but it is the Pnim after all, and therefore a person can't get malchus for that according to Rav Shimon. He would be over on a loisess there. That's the thing. He would say as far as the aspect of Mechusas Man, he would agree with the Chachamim, according to Rav Zera's explanation that Mechusas Man is not Chayav Malchus, in Nisr Lasser. As far as the fact that it's chutz, it's not really chutz. Only Bachut, so you have an Isr of Bamos, you don't have that Isr with him. Therefore, he will say you're over on a Loisa, says for doing it, because Loisa happens, but he will hold the person is not Chayav Malchus.
Same with
the chutz relative to Shiloh, because it's not the same place as Shiloh. This is right now where the Mishkan is, but it's not suitable. But it's not suitable because it's not suitable for Hatzoris and Hashomers. As far as Hatzoris and Hashomers are concerned, it's chutz because it doesn't, that's not where they belong. So in Gilgal, they clearly couldn't bring a Hatzos and an Hashomers.
And if they did, that would consider
that. Right, right. Choices brings a different view over here that the Gemara asks, what do you mean according to the Shimon who get Malchus? Isn't Gilgal considered Pnim? And according to that, the answer would be that Reb Nachman would say what he says in the Gemara over here, that inside Gilgal is the equivalent of Vachos. Inside Gilgal is the equivalent of outside of Shiloh. Same basic answer. We arrive at it a different way. Okay. The original Mishkan was the one in the desert. After that, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, that you could bring all korbanos, and you're not allowed to bring korbanos anywhere else. We were saying just before you came in that whenever the rule is, we learned from the Mishnah, whenever the Aron wasn't there in the Mishkan, then it was considered a Bama Gdola. What we're saying in our Gemara over here is during the period when it's called a Bama Gdola, it is downgraded also. No Korbanos Koiva can be brought there. Only voluntary Korbanos.
During
Shiloh. The Mishkan stood in Shiloh for 369 years, and then the Plishtim captured the Aron, and Shiloh was destroyed. First, it was in Gilgal for 14 years, while they took 7 years conquering most of Eretz Yisrael, and another 7 years dividing it up. Then you were allowed to bring Bamos, but you were allowed to do Bamos, but both on the private Bamos and on the public Bama in Gilgal, in all of them, you were only allowed to bring voluntary Korbanos. No Chatoris, no Ashram. In the Mishkan and Shiloh, you're back to like the one in the desert. You could bring all korbanos, including chataris and hashamis, and no private bums. Right.
I'm not sure why. I wasn't there.
Then it became the bum of Gola, right? No, they're all in the way, but we come and go, and they take it out whenever they went to war. So it wasn't a fixed thing. No. It's not like one day. It's the Mishkan, and the next day it's not. The whole 14 years that was in Gilgal, bumos were mutter, and chataris and hashamis were.
Why didn't consider Gilgal like a Shiloh?
Because the difference is, it's not meant to be the actual, it's not the Menucha, it's not the Nakla, it's not the first permanent place of the Mishkan, it's not the second permanent place of the Mishkan, it was the third most. Shiloh is the Menucha, Shiloh is meant to be the first long-term place. It's called Menucha, that's in the sixth parasha, yeah.
Nakla
is a Shiloh, man. We'll learn about that later on in the text. We'll learn about those definitions. Okay, awesome. Okay. Rabba Amar, Rabba says, here's a different way of understanding. So okay, so we have the Shlokish's understanding of Reb Shimon, which is what we've been discussing, that Reb Shimon is learning from the Pasuk Lois Fastun, that you have a case of Mechutzah's Man, you have these Korbanos that are not yet able to be brought because the place for bringing them does not exist yet, the Mishkan and Shiloh. Therefore, the Mechutzah's Man, and the Pasuk says Lois Fastun. Rabba Amar, Rabba says, Taina Kedir Shimon, Kedir Taina. No. I have a different explanation for Reb Shimon's shita in our Mishnah, that Mechutzah's Man person is over on Allah. Namely, like this, we learn in a Braita, Reb Shimon Omer, Minayim Lezeveach Pesach B'Bomach Yachad B'Shach Yisrael Bomach. How do we know if a person shechs a korban Pesach on a private Bomach during the period when Bomach are offered? Shehu B'Loy says that. Now, at that point, you're not supposed to bring any korban on private Bomach, but how do we know that there's a specific Loy says that for bringing a Chatzos there? Tamuzayim, Eloi Tuchal, is Vayachas HaPosach. So the Pesach says, you're not allowed to offer the Pesach, Ba'achad Shorah, that says. Yochol Asashat Heter on Bomos, okay? Continues the Braisa, you would think the same thing applies when Bomos are Mutter, that you're not allowed to bring a private, a Korban Pesach on your private Bomos. Tamuzayim, Ba'achad Shorah. No, therefore the Pesach continues that you're not allowed to offer the Korban Pesach in one of your gates. Now, the simple meaning of Ba'achad Sharach means in one of your cities. So the city, the gates, is like the way you go into the city. So Sharach, the word Shar in Tanakh often means the city itself. But here, we darshan it. Loi amarti l'cha ela b'shal shakoy tira mechnasim b'sharach. This that I'm telling you, you're not allowed to bring a Pesach on a Bama, on a private Bama, only applies at a time when all Jewish people are coming into one Shar. Namely, when the Mishkan is in one central place, in Shiloh and later on in Yerushalayim, and all the Jewish people are coming from all over Eretz Yisrael to bring Korbanos there, because they can't bring them anywhere else, that is when the Issur of bringing a Pesach on a Bamas Yachid applies. Aside from, again, you have the Issur to bring any Korbanos on a Bamas Yachid, but you have a specific one for the Korban Pesach, as says Reb Shimon in the Brayta, because that's what the Pasuk says. But as opposed to in a time when private Bamas are Mutter, then you're allowed to bring them on a Bamas Yachid, according to the Pesach, even the Korban Pesach, right? Now that we have this brisa, we have to figure out, says Rabbi Ema, when, what time during the year is this brisa talking about? If you're going to tell me that we're talking about that we're talking about a case where the person is offering the korban pesach on a bamos yotzid during the time when bamos are offered, and he does it on the afternoon of erev pesach, which is the proper time for bringing the korban pesach, well then what do you mean only allowed koris nami machayev? Then that's regular shchut echot. Then he's chayev koris for it as well. What are you telling me? Only allowed. Shul galoy said, but I said. Obviously, we must be talking about that he's offering it on Erev Pesach before Chatzos. Now, there is the Mechutah's man, because it's not yet the time to bring the Korban Pesach. The time for bringing the Korban Pesach is Erev Pesach afternoon. And therefore, so we see from this that Rav Shimon is saying, based on that pasuk involving the Korban Pesach, that there is an issue of Mechutah's man, for which a person will be over on a lot, and perhaps he will get Malchus for it. But the point is that once we see that it applies there, then we can apply it to other cases of Mechutah's man, like he does in our Mishnah. So that's where Rav Shimon gets the idea that Mechutah's man is over on a lot.
From
that case of the Korban Pesach, which a person is bringing the Shas Isur HaBamos at a time when Bamos are also, but he's bringing it in the morning of Erev Pesach which is not the time yet.
Why you couldn't bring it in the morning? After this, when it gets revealed, you could bring it.
No, you couldn't. No, you could only bring an Erev Pesach afternoon.
So that was a card.
If he brought it at that point in the afternoon, he'd decide Kardas, yeah, because Rory Lover Bishnim, it's Rory to go on the Mizbeach as a Korban Pesach. Tosfos points out over here, you know, we learned before in the Masechta, and we're going to discuss soon in the next Sugya, that we know that a Pesach during the time when it's not meant to be brought to the Korban Pesach, then it becomes a Shlomim. However, you have a concept of Akira. You have a concept that you have to verbally say, I'm taking it away from being a Korban Pesach and doing it, at least on Erev Pesach morning, you have to do that. And usually you don't have Akira. So therefore, by default, it remains a Korban Pesach. No, because it's Erev Pesach morning, so it's not that the thing. It's Mechutah's man. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, because it's Mechutah's man, that downgrades from Koris to a lab. If he had done an Erev Pesach afternoon, he'd be Chayav Koris, but because he does it Erev Pesach morning, then it's only a lab.
And if he did Erev Pesach afternoon,
then No, if he did it inside the Bismarck, then of course that's what he's supposed to do.
Right, yeah. And if he did it outside
on a private Brahma, then inside first. During the 14 years, that's what Shimon is saying. And the Brahma said, then he would be allowed to do that. Okay. So the Gemara says, no, because you don't necessarily, no, that's not a proof that what Rabbah is saying, because you could say that the Brahma is talking about where he's offering it in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, or Bashar Kesar Abomit, sorry. However, the Brahma, you could say, is talking about the time when Bomber is promoted. Even at a time when Bomo is a mutter, there would still be a specific lab against bringing the Korban Pesach out of private Bomo. Rabbi was understanding the Braisa to be saying that at a time when Bomo is a mutter, you're allowed to bring it out of private Bomo. And at a time when Bomo is a mutter, then it's either a lab before Chatzos and Erev Pesach or Korban after that. Now we're saying, no, we're talking even in a time when Bomo is a mutter, and you're allowed to bring a chata, you know, that you're allowed to bring an oil or a shlomim on it, but you have a specific loisa that said not to bring a Korban Pesach on it. That has to be done in the breath. So the question is, what is your Bomo is kamar? What do you mean? The breitha said that the breitha started saying that we're talking for Bomo is your Bomo. So what do you mean, Bishat Hetcher Bomo? The answer is, Isu Bomo loy Hetcher Bomo lachaveres. Fine, but you could argue that what Rav Shimon means in this braisa by the words, b'shas isur abomos, is that at the time when there's an isur to bring this particular korban on a bomber, namely a korban pesach, but at the time when other korbanos, namely an ola and a shlomim, can be offered on a private bomber. And therefore, so the braisa will be continuing by distinguishing between if it's on the morning of Erev Pesach, where then it's a shlomim rather than a pesach, or any other time during the year when it's a shlomim rather than a pesach, then fine, you can bring a shlomim on a private bomber. So according to the afternoon already, then it's a Pesach. And then according to this, the Braith will be saying a Pesach is always also on a Bomer Khan, even when Bomer is a Mutter. And in fact, the Rambam mentions this, that Rambam, on the face of it, the Gemara has said Rabbah doesn't really have a proof. Nevertheless, and therefore we're left with Rav Shimon's explanation, with Rav Shlokesh's explanation. he doesn't have a proof for saying where Rav Shimon gets his opinion in our Mishnah about Mechotah's man. However, the Rambam does accept the statement as halacha. He writes in Yad HaChazaka, he writes in Hilchos Korban Pesach, that even in the time when Bomas are mutter, you have a specific lav not to bring a Pesach on a Bomas Yachid, on the basis of our Gemara over here. And in fact, actually, it's interesting. In Sefer HaMitzvot, you know, that Amnon originally wrote Sefer HaMitzvot, so he said, I'm going to be writing Yad HaChazaka. I want to make sure I have an accurate list of the mitzvot to make sure I don't miss things. He says, I looked over the old lists of mitzvot, and I found they're all flawed in one way or another. They include things that aren't supposed to be among the 613. They don't include ones that are, etc. Because he looked it over. That's he developed his 14 principles for determining what should be considered one of the 613 and whatnot. So that's how he came to write Sefer HaMitzvot. In the early versions of Sefer HaMitzvot, he put this as one of the 365 loikas, as not to bring a Pesach on a Bamas Yachid. In later editions of Sefer HaMitzvot, he changed that, because I guess he decided in the end, look, it's only something that applies during a short period in Jewish history. Eventually the Beit HaMikdash was built, and private Bamas are outlawed forever anyway. And one of the Rambam's 14 rules is you don't count mitzvot that are not for all time. So therefore, he took that one out and replaced it with a different one. But you can find in Sefer Achinuch, first of all, in Sefer Achinuch, therefore, Sefer Achinuch apparently used the original version of the Rambam's listing, because he has this fact as one of the ones in his list, is this not to bring a Pesach on a Bamas Yachid. And on Shavuot night, when we say the list of mitzvahs over there at the end of Tikkun Leil Shavuot, that list is taken from Sefer Achinuch. Also, you have that one, and you have another one, so you actually end up saying Tikkun 14 mitzvahs, because you have the Rambam's original one and the one that he replaced.
Okay. It's interesting, we'll never come back.
Nonetheless, though, we're still saying, according to the Rambam's original version, it's still considered, yes. So, it's interesting, actually, now that you mention it, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say, on the basis of various Mishnayos and Gemara, that maybe there was a short period after the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed when they were still able to bring a Korban Pesach. Maybe they were somehow able to get permission from the Romans to be able to go there onto the Havayis, and they still knew where the Mizrach had been, and they still had Korban, etc. And therefore, they might have been able for a few years to be master of a Korban Pesach over there. He mentions, for example, you have a Mishnah in Stockholm, for example, that mentions Rav Gamliel telling his servant Tavi how to go roast the Korban Pesach. He assumes that the Rav Gamliel with Tavi usually is Rav Gamliel the Yavne, the one who became Nazi, only after the Churban. So therefore, according to that, it would mean that it was done. I've mentioned before, Yad Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, about 700 years ago, wanted to came to Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to be master of a Korban Pesach, and the other Chachamim of that time disagreed with him and said you can't on various grounds. And there's been a lot of discussion over the last few hundred years on the pros and cons. It still is ongoing. After the Six-Day War, famously, that ever told people not to stay in the Old City on Eretz Pesach, because then they might be obligated to go on to the Hanabayas and bring a Korban Pesach. Eventually, by the mid-70s, when the security situation had changed, and at that point, you even try to go on to the Hanabayas, you're taking your life in your hands with the Arabs, so then they never stop telling them that they have to leave the city. So there's no real possibility of bringing a Korban Pesach anyway.
So in principle, we
might be obligated to try and make the effort to bring a Korban Pesach, yeah. Okay, well, go on. Okay, then the Mishnah...
By the way, it's being in the city.
Yeah, well, because you have it. The person's outside the city, and he's in Derech or Choker, he's in a distant journey, and he's not obligated to anything.
The old city.
Yeah, okay. Onward. Mechutah's man, although the Mishnah had said that another case that we had, what is Mechutah's man, the Mishnah had said, that you have the following cases. First of all, you could have the animal itself, is not yet 8 days old. Second of all, you can have oisav estimai. And third of all, you can have where the owner is not yet able to bring a korban, because, for example, a zava who haven't counted their 7 clean days yet. And then the Mishnah mentioned that if they offer their chatas or their asham versus their oila or their shlom. And the difference is the chatas and the asham, they have to wait until the designated day to bring it. Therefore, it's not yet roi lover b'snim. Therefore, they're possibly projecting it outside of the mikdash. As opposed to an oila and a shlom, a person can bring any time. Therefore, they'd be chayav today.
What about the nazir?
So the question is, v'hani b'nei, one second, v'hani b'nei shlomim, what are you talking about? A zava and a yola, they don't bring a shlomim. Amar Rav Sheshet, Tony Nazir. So Rav Sheshet says, you're right, you have to add into the Mishnah the word Nazir, where Nazir brings the Shlomim. I skipped a couple of lines. Well, close his mind. Hold up. Nah, I need an asham. What do you mean? A zover, you'll let us don't bring an asham. Then bring an ola and a chata. So what asham? On the Ze'iri, Tommy Mitzvah Ba'adai. So the Ze'iri said, you're right, you have to stick into the mission of the word Mitzvah. And the third brings an asham as one of its turbans.
And remove what?
Not remove. No, not remove anything. You have now, you have a list of four. Zav, Zava, Yeledeth, and the third. Fine, but the point is, whichever one of them is relevant. In the case of a Zava, Zava, and a Yeledeth, you're talking about an Ola versus a Chata. In the case of a Mithura, you're talking about an Ola versus an asham or a Chata. Okay. Then we said, Ola stay in the Shalmei, and what about if they bring their Ola or the Shlomim outside of the Smithish? We said the Chayev, because those you could bring any time. So again, the question is, Hani Bnei Shlomim, Ninu. What do you mean? None of the above, a Zav or Zava or Nida or, not a Nida, Zava, Zava, Yeledes, and a Mitzvah, none of them bring a Shlomim. So what Shlomim are we talking about? Omer of Sheshet, Hani, a Zav and a Zava bring an Ola and a Chata, a Yeledes, same thing, a Yeledes, same thing. Ola and Chata. On the third, it brings an Ola, Chata, and an Asha. No Shlomim. Amr Rav Sheshet, Tani Nozit. Rav Sheshet said, you're right, you have to insert also Nozit. However, the Gemara says, the Iri Tavur Tanoi, the Iri's change to the Mishnah, that he added the word, Mitzvah, the Tanoim, the people who learned, who were girded from the Shnayas by heart, and then repeated them over in the Beit Medrash, they accepted that, Tavua, they accepted that and made that part of their standard text in the Shnayas, and in fact, when we moved the Mishnah, I'm hoping days on the day, we had it printed over there, Hazav Ba'azav Ba'yalet Samasarda. But, Yudav Sheshet, Loi Tavua Tanoim, Yudav Sheshet's addition of the Nazir, they would not prevea it as part of the Mishnah.
Why?
In other words, it's less effectively as Chassuri Master. It's less as the Mishnah has not explicitly mentioned the Nazir, but since it mentions the Shlomim, we're meant to understand that it includes the Nazir as well. Now, why not? Tosfos says the reason is because Zav, Zava, Yeledes, and Mitzvah are all in a certain category. They all were Tomei. They're all Mechosri Kabari. As opposed to a Nazir, it's a different kind of thing, so therefore it doesn't make sense. Because you have. It's a very common thing throughout Shas in many places when we talk about the Mechosri Kabara. We mentioned that quartet, that group of four, Zav, Zava, Yeledes, Mitzvah. Nazir is a different Nazir. Yeah, they very commonly go together, so it's very likely to say, in other words, that the word Mitzvah was left out by accident. As opposed to a Nazir is a whole different category. Right, because it's not talking about it. Probably the Orsameach has a different, interesting explanation about it. He says that the idea is basically in the case of a Mitzvah, the halacha is a person who a Mitzvah is not able to send korbanos to the Beit Mikdash to be brought even as nedavos on his behalf while he's tamei. If he does, then they can still offer them as an oral or a shlomim, but they don't count for his chayiv. Therefore. A person is a Mitzvah, if he decides voluntarily to bring an Oil or a Shlomim, he's not supposed to be sending it to the Beit Mikdash while he's a Mitzvah, and if he does, and they're matched with it, then it doesn't count for his obligation. Same thing. So, I'm not sure if Azov and Azov is the same thing. Anyway, the point is, therefore, it makes sense to add the word Mitzvah rather than not so much the word Nazir, because Mitzvah, you can say, is in that category that he can be bringing, that it's possible for him to be bringing Oil to Shlomim, which could conceivably be accepted as Korbanos, not even the Korbanos for the end of his Torah. This voluntary Oilus or Shlomim that he does on his own, well, but the fact is they won't count for his Choy, but they will be Roy Lover Yisnim. They will be acceptable as Korbanos, they just won't count for his Choy. So therefore, in other words, adding the Mitzvah itself is enough without even adding the Nazir, even though Mitzvah doesn't have any fixed particular Korban Shlomim that he has to bring, but you can have. He could conceivably decide to send a Shlomim. Zav and Zav, I don't remember if they can send Korban extra. Mitzvah, I know that. Okay. Onward. Amr of Chilkiya Dveir of Tuvi, or Chilkiya Bar of Tuvi, is really the Gita. Loi Shonu Ela L'Shmoi. This that we're talking about, that a person chef, the Chathos of the Osham, outside the Beit Mikdash, then he's potter is only if he did it shaloi l'shmo. Loi shano elo l'shmo, rather, sorry, the other way around. Loi shano elo l'shmo. Only if he does the korban l'shmo, having in mind that it's a chathos or having in mind that it's an osham. Because again, it's not yet the time for this chathos or osham to be brought, because he hasn't yet finished his tahara process. That's when he would be potter if it was the chathos or the osham, because they're not yet roi lover b'shnim. Right. Avo shaloi l'shmoi chaya, but Rav Chilkiya Bar Rav Tuvi said, if he were to shech these korbanos, shaloi l'shmoi, for example, he shechted them having in mind that they're an ola, then higher, then he would be higher, because after all, an oila is something that would be roi lover with him at this point. We just said in the Mishnah that if a zav, zava, etc., if they are makru of an oila, if they're makru of their oila outside the Bet Mikdash, then they're higher, they're higher for it, because the oila could conceivably be brought any time. Okay, it's not going to accomplish anything for the kapara, but an oila is an oila. It could be a voluntary carbon. Only the chatas and the osham, we say, there's a particular time when they have to be brought, and no earlier, because that's what's needed for their kapara. So therefore, Rav Tovi is saying that if you were to take this chata through Oshem and shecht him shaloi l'shmoi, then he would be chayav, because then they'd be shechting him as an ola, because as an ola, they would be roi lov of the tenet. No, chayav korek, for why you might regular shlok echot. So the question is, roi shaloi l'shmoi b'snim, because this korban, if it were brought shaloi l'shmoi inside the Bet Mikdash, as we learned all the way back at the beginning of the sector, all korbanos except for a chatas and a korban pesach are kosher shaloi l'shmoi, that it doesn't count for the owner's slave. But fine, so we're not talking about the chatas over here, we're talking about the osham. If you were to take the osham and shecht it outside the Bet Mikdash, shaloi l'shmoi, such as having in mind that it's an ola, the din is it would be a kosher korban. It just wouldn't count for his chayv. So therefore, the Tzofi of Tzofi is arguing, therefore he should be chayv kares for bringing it outside of the mikdash. Yeah. Well, ihachi l'shmoi nami nichayv. If you're going to argue that way, we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to what Rav Huna is saying. But wait, first let's finish with one other detail. Ihachi, if you're going to say like that, l'shmoi nami nichayv, why shouldn't we say that he's equally chayv if he shechted this asham, having in mind that it is an asham? Because the same animal could have been brought b'snim and been shechted over there shaloi l'shma, and it would have been and it would have still been a valid carbon. The answer is okay. But the difference is bo yakira. Fine, but the difference is if you bring it into the Bet Mikdash and shecht it shaloi l'shma, then you need akira. You have to have in mind explicitly that your shecht akira means like you're uprooting it from its original status and giving it a new status. As long as you don't do that, we learned all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta, if a person just shecht the carbon stam, if an animal was originally brought, let's say, that it's supposed to be an osham, and you just shechted it stam without having in mind any particular carbon that it is, then it remains what it is. It remains an osham. Only if you specifically have in mind that it's going to be an olo or what have you, does it become in the case of most korbanos kosher, vein ololoi, and in the case of the chatas and the case of the you would have to say or think, we learned all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta, Machlokes. We're showing them on that. That we said all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, the Chachamim made a sakana that you shouldn't have any, that you shouldn't necessarily have it particularly in mind, because then you might end up having the wrong thing in mind. So therefore, in other words, in order for it to become not an Asham, in order for it to become, for example, an Ola, it would require Akira. Akira is not usually something that's done. Therefore, we can't say that if you had taken this animal and brought it into the Masechta, you could have shechted it shalom l'shmah. You could have, but you would have needed to think that it's shaloi l'shmoi. As opposed to, sort of chilki, but Tovi is saying that if you shechted it shaloi l'shmoi outside the Bet Mikdash, then you're not talking about that the akira has already been done. You're already having in mind that it's shaloi l'shmoi. The only difference is you're doing it b'chut as opposed to the sin. Well, that's what gets the person kari, for doing it b'chut.
Even though because
it's shaloi l'shmoi, that's the thing. You're saying if it was l'shmoi, then you're talking an osham, which is mechutz zman, because you're talking about the osham is not yet ready to be brought because the person's not hasn't finished the tara properly. So therefore he'd be called. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon, maybe he'd be malchus according to Chacham and not. But yes.
If he brought it
l'shmoi, then it's a mechutz zman. The Chacham established in the Mishnah that mechutz zman there's no lab for it. Rav Shimon argued with that and said there's a lab, and we just had in the previous discussion whether there's malchus or not. But the point is, because it's mechutz man, so therefore, so Rav Chilki, what Rav is saying, because it's mechutz man, then the rules are going to be different. If it's l'shmoi, then because it's mechutz man, that takes away the lab. If it's shaloi l'shmoi, then what you have is it's not mechutz man anymore, because now this is kosher as a korban with him. If we're talking about, for example, a zav bringing his ola. So if he brings his ola and they shecht it having in mind that it's a shlamim, we said that cause v'chum shindin b'chul shalav shlamim, the first mission of our masechta. The korban is kosher, it's brought as a proper ola, it just doesn't count for his choy. Well, therefore, it says but it's a kosher carbon. So the chiluki b'chovi is saying same logic. In other words, same rule applies to the asham. That if it's shechted, having in mind it's a different carbon, it's still a kosher asham. It just is not oila for the owner's clothes. So therefore, that's what you, because it's shelo l'shma, because it's shelo l'shma. So therefore, if he did it mechbachos, then he'll be chayev. Same if he did it with him. Okay. So that's the point of that. Maski for Rapuna, but Rapuna asks him, and how can you say such a thing? Which I think is what you were going to ask. Where do you ever have such a concept that a carbon should not, that a carbon should not be kosher when it's l'shmoy, and then be kosher when you do it shaloy l'shmoy? What's the logic?
That's
so the Gemara asks that on Rav Huna, the loy. Well, why not? I can give you an example. How about you have the carbon Pesach throughout the rest of the year? If a person checks it l'shmoy, then it's also, because that's not the time for bringing the carbon Pesach. The kosher shalai l'shmai, but if you bring it any other time during the year, shalai l'shmai, then it's kosher, because then it's a shlomim. So there you have a perfect example of where it's reversed like that. No, well, that's the answer. Pesach, v'shai yimai sashana, shlomim. Fine, but the answer is that a Pesach any other time during the year becomes a shlomim, so therefore you can't really call it shalai l'shmai. In effect, it becomes l'shmai of a shlomim, right? Well, we learned back at the beginning of the sector. In the first paragraph, we had a couple of lemudim from it, from Zevach Lashem Alachach Pesach Nuvoker, and then Zevach Pesach Ulashem, and whatever. We had a couple of sukkim that established that idea that a Pesach becomes a shlomim during any other time during the year. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that's not a serious objection against Rav Huna. We still have Rav Huna has his point. Therefore, that you don't other than that special case where it becomes a shlomim, and therefore of the Pesach. Other than that special case, you don't see the objection of Rav Huna against Rav Chilki Bar Chova stands. Right. Okay. But fine. So far, we have a machlokes. In other words, we're saying again, according to Rav Chilki Bar Chova, if you were to shech the osham l'shmoy outside the Azara, he'd be chayev kodesh. Oh, sorry, no, he wouldn't be. No, if he was shecht at l'shma, we would say that he's not chayev anything, according to Chum, because Mechot is not. But if he shecht at shaloi l'shma, he'd be chayev kares, because it's acceptable with him. And Rav Huna disagrees with that. Okay. So then what's the lame of Messiah? Well, we still have to discuss this. Mechot, we still have to discuss the Mechot. There's no yes. Lame of Messiah, like, fine. Can we say that we can support Rav Chilki of Bar Chovi's opinion based on the following bright? Brisa says, it starts from the middle of a Brisa. The part, it's funny actually, that if you look in the third line of Rashi, it says, Yochel Shani Moti Me'el Pesach. It's supposed to be Pesach with a Samach. Apparently the Bacher Azester over here thought, since we're talking about the current Pesach, he thought, yeah, you're supposed to put a stop in it, yeah. Anyway, okay.
That's nice.
Okay. it happens sometimes, anyway.
Does it say
the correction? No, it doesn't. Okay. I'm in the newer edition of the Gemara, it's probably corrected, yeah. All right, anyway. Okay, so like this. Given that we're saying, again, the Braisa starts by saying like this. Given that we're saying that a Mechotah's man b'bayilim, which we've been discussing, for example, a Zav or what have you, who haven't yet completed their Tara process, we're saying that their Korbanah, the person is not higher for offering them, which is the Mechotah's man. So the Braisa continues, Yochol Shani Moti Apoilos Mechotah's man b'bayilim. You would think, therefore, by the same logic, we should exclude on that basis that the Oila of a Mechotah's man b'bayilim, which is what we're discussing, the Oila of a Zav or what have you, we said in the Mishnah that a person is chayav. We're not in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that a person is chayav for being makruv lo zachos because they're roi lo zachim. Now the Braisa is giving us the basis for that din. With yochol shani moti at olos mechotah's man, you would think to also exclude and say that a person is not chayav for the oila of a mechotah's man to buy them, the oshem nazir and oshem mitzora, and similarly the oshem nazir and the oshem mitzora, where there can be involved a stall, which we'll deal with later on. What stall later on in Gemara we'll deal with what stall there can be in those. Talmud Lema Shor Mekom Mokom Ketzef Mekom Mokom Eiv Mekom Mokom. Therefore, no, the pasuk says in this parasha of Shchutichus in parashat Achimot, it says that there's a person from Beis Yisrael who shechts a shor or a ketzef or an eiv in the machna or mechutz la machna, then he's chayav kares. So by mentioning shor means any shor, Kesev means any Kesev. Aiv means any Aiv. So therefore, in other words, the Pazer didn't have to mention the specific animals. It could have said, Asher Yushchev Amachne, Asher Yushchev Bechutz L'Machne. We know what are the only types of animals that are kosher as a korban, Asher, Kesev, and Aiv. We have that at the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. So by mentioning him individually, the Pazer means to stress that a person is Machne is one of those outside, even though it's an Oila of a Mechutz Man Bebailin, nevertheless he's still Chayav. So that's where we get the din of our Mishnah, that the Oila and the Shlomim, for that matter, that he's Chayav. Now, the point is, the Ilu Chashtas Shaira. Now, the Braisa has not mentioned, that the person will be Chayav for the Chashtas. In that case.
We have the Oila.
We have the Oila, and we don't have the Chashtas. In other words, again, by a Zav or Zava, or Yeledes, we're the only Korbanah sibling of those two. You only have an Oila and a Chashtas. And we're saying that, where the Braisa is telling us that you should know he is Chayav for Shchutei Chutz for the Oila, implying but not for the Chashtas. So b'maya sinan. So now let's consider what's the scenario over here. Elam b'zmano. Are we talking about it is the time to be bringing the korban? In other words, the seven days, or in the case of your letters, the 40 or 80 days have passed, and now the time for bringing the korban has arrived, and the person checks it l'shmoi outside the azara. What do you mean? Then my uri osham. Then my uri osham. Then why do you have to mention? Why are you being my uri osham? The same thing would apply to the chatas, because the Braita has implied that Oshem Nazir and Oshem Mitzora and being married then why shouldn't you be married with the chatas as well if it's Zana? Ella Shaloi was Manoi. Obviously, we have to be talking about the offering the Korban Shaloi was Manoi, and nevertheless, we're saying that for the Oshem he's Chayev, but for the Chatzot he's not. So now we have to consider, okay. Because we're saying if he's Chayev for the Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Mitzvah, then that means we've included the Oshem. That means in the cases where there's a certain time when you're supposed to bring the Oshem, and he brings it earlier, he's nevertheless Chayev, the Braita is telling us. So now we have to consider over my. Okay, so now that we established that we're talking about Shaloi Bizmanoi, it's too early to be bringing it, so now let's talk about over my. What's the scenario over here as far as what Machshava he had in mind? Elam L'Shmoi, if he's offering the Korban L'Shmoi, Oshem Amai Chayev, then why should he be Chayev for the Oshem? It's not yet the time ready to bring it yet. Then it should be, if it's the Oshem of the Nazir or the Oshem of the Mesorah, you're supposed to be bringing them on a certain date. After the seven clean days, and if not, then it's not yet ready to be good, because it's Manda Byron, and therefore why should he be hired for it? Obviously, therefore, by elimination, we have to say the Braisa is talking about where he's offering it Shaloi L'Shmoi. Well, there you go. That's what Rav Chilki of Atrovi is telling us, that if he checks the Oshem Shaloi L'Shmoi outside the Azara, even though it's Mechutz's Manda Byron, That's the point. But in other words, nevertheless, and the Braita is telling us, in other words, that if it was just Mechutz's man and he did it L'Shmoi, then that says he would be possible. But if it's just Shaloi L'Shmoi, then...
No, it's just
Shaloi L'Shmoi, because an Oshem Shaloi L'Shmoi is partial. But we only have two types of Oshem where there's Mechutz's man. The other four types of Oshem, Asham Zelos, Asham Me'ilos, Asham Shikha Harufa, and Oshem Tolu, there's no fixed time for them. Whenever the person did the Avera, he's obligated to bring the Oshem. So when we're talking about Chotos Man the Bailim, we have to be talking only Oshem Nazir and Oshem Mitzvah. And we'll say, and the Braita is telling us, that a person is Chayev for them. So we have to be talking about, again, by elimination, we're talking about Shaloi Bizmano, otherwise it'd be Chayev for the Chatzot as well. Once we establish we're talking Shaloi Bizmano, that's Chotos Man the Bailim, we have to say that we're also talking about Shaloi L'Shmoi. And therefore, there you go. Both factors together, it's Mechutz's man, but it's also Shaloi L'Shmoi, then the Braita is saying that he'll be Chayev, which is what Rav Chilki of Atrovi said.
Yes, but you're not talking about Mechutz's man and Shaloi L'Shmoi.
He did. No. Our Mishnah had talked about the Chatas and the Oshem versus the Oila and the Shlomim, and Rav Chilki of Atrovi made the distinction Shaloi versus Shaloi L'Shmoi, which seems to be exactly what the Braita is doing. The answer is no, because you don't have to explain the Braisa that way. Olam bizman ere shelo v'shmo. You could say that we are talking about the korban as being brought in its proper time, after the 8, after the 7 days, or after the 40 days, or what have you. It's not mechutz zman, and we are talking about where it's being brought shelo v'shmo. But you could answer for Rabbi Eliezer. You could answer that this Braisa goes like Rabbi Eliezer, Yom Makshin and Oshem Lachatzav, where he says, as we learned back in the first parak, that the same concept that applies to the chatas, which everybody agrees the chatas shalei l'shmoy is possible, he says the same thing applies to an asham, because he learned from the pasuk kachatas to asham, he said over there, that he learned from a hekesh, we learned back in the first parak. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, the both the chatas and the asham are in the same category. The tana topple, or what in it? So the braisa is mentioning the asham, which is the topple, because that's what we're learning from chatas. But we're meant to understand that according to Rabbi Eliezer, obviously the same thing would be true of the ikur of the chatas from which we're learning the asham, that the same thing would be true of it. So when the braisa is telling us that he is chayev for offering the asham, the asham nazir, or the asham mesorah, or the asham mesorah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we'd be talking about, but if it's man, that both the chatas and the asham would be in that category, right? But he would say like we said before, in order for it to become not an asham, for it to become another korban, or not to become another korban, according to him, an asham shalei l'shmo is possible. You would have to do akira. You haven't done akira because you're shechting it. So you're shechting it outside l'shem and asham. So therefore, the braisa would be saying that even if he does do akira, even if he does have in mind, I plan to shech this as a different korban, which according to Rabbi Eliezer makes it possible. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer would take the view that after all, the akira itself doesn't yet make the korban possible. That's me that he shechs it first. So therefore, he would say, fine, he did akira. He said, I don't plan to offer this as an asham, I plan to offer it as a different korban. However, he could conceivably still bring it into the agara, shech it stam, because his akira doesn't mean anything until the actual shita, and it would be kosher. Therefore, he would say that if he shechs it outside the agara, even though it was shalei l'shmo, he will be chayev korban for it. Because again, you don't have the mechutz man issue as a non-issue. We're saying the braisa is not talking about mechutz man, the braisa is talking about bizman. The only thing that makes it different than a regular shchutz is that he's doing it shalei l'shmo. But Rabbi Eliezer is saying, fine, it's true that if it was bifnim and if it's shalei l'shmo, it would be possible. But bachutz, having in mind that it's shalei l'shmo, is not enough to take away the kodesh from him, because that was just the machshava that he planned to do shalei l'shmo, and he could have just as well brought it into the azara and done it stam, without even undoing his akira. He could have just checked it at stam, and it would have been perfectly kosher ashram. Therefore, he's chayav kares for doing it bachutz.
Because he would not have been...
Because he could have brought it with him and checked it as an ashram.
And it would have been kosher.
Yes, and it would have been kosher. So therefore, there's no proof from this braisa to the chilki of Archovi, because if we assume that the braisa is not according to Rabbi Eliezer, that it's according to the Chachamim, then yes, you have to say it can only be talking about shaloi bizmano and shaloi bishmai, which would be the chilki of Archovi's position. But if we say that braisa is like Rabbi Eliezer, then it's a whole different, then it's not relevant to our discussion.
Only shaloi bishmai.
Right. Okay. Toshma, come, we'll bring a proof from another braisa. Actually, it's not another braisa. Rashi actually says that this is the first half of the previous braisa. We started by quoting. The Gemara often does that. The Gemara doesn't always quote a braisa in order. Sometimes it quotes the part that's relevant, and then later on it quotes a different part. So yochol shani marbe, and actually Rashi says because of that, the word yochol shani marbe is really wrong over here. Rashi says that this part of the braisa should really, he brings from Torah Tarinim, it's actually supposed to be oisias eivu. You would think to exclude the following. Rashi says the people who learned Gemara over here, they misunderstood this braisa is the second half of the previous braisa, which means once we've been mimayat something, then you would think to be marbe. Then once we were marbe the ola and the osham and the osham nazir and the osham asura, you would think you marbe something else, and therefore the braisa is going to tell us not. But Rashi says no, that's not really how the wording of the braisa is supposed to be. The actual proof is going to be the same either way. The bright, the word yachol shanima, they don't really belong. It's supposed to be yachol oisi. Okay, but the actual argument is going to be the same anyway. The brighter thing, yachol shanima, but olaf mechusas mandazufa, you would think to include in the chiyuv of Koris, for shechting outside of this mikdash, you would think to include an olaf of mechusas man because it itself is mechusas man, for example, it's less than 8 days old. Or a chatas ben begufa ben bebailim, or a chatas, whether it's mechutas man begufa because it's not old enough yet, or bebailim because it's not the time to bring it yet.
How old should it be?
8 days is the minimum. For any carbon. Shivat yamim yem, ime ba yemesh minit kitim. The truth is most carbonas actually, you're really not supposed to offer them until they're at least 30 days old. The dieven, you do it on the 8th day, then it's kosher, and there are certain carbonas of them. Pesach, I think, is one of them, and there's a couple of others. Rilach HaChila, even, you can do it on the 8th day. Most other carbonas you really supposed to ideally wait 30 days. Okay, anyway, the point is, so the Braita is saying, you would think, since the Pasuk is telling us that a person is high of the shechting carbonas outside of the Mishnah, you would think that includes also in the case of an Oila, where it's Mechutas Man V'Gufa, where it's not yet mature enough, it's not yet 8 days old, or Chasas, where it's Mechutas Man, either because of it itself or because of Bailam, Mechutas Man V'Bailam, as we've been talking about, for example, the Zava, where there's 7 days and a half. Therefore, the Pasuk says, El Pesach Ayomoyed, that it hasn't been brought to Pesach Ayomoyed, implying, Kol She'ena Roy Lohu, Pesach Ayomoyed, anything that's not Roy to be brought in front of Pesach Ayomoyed, like these things, Ein Chayavan Alein, and the person is not higher for them. Now again, you would have thought that a person is higher for them, so therefore, Pesach Ayomoyed is different than that. Now, the Ilu Osham Shaira. Now, though, we see the Braita has left out the Osham. The Braita has not discussed what happens with the Osham. So again, let's figure the Maya skinning. What's the scenario we're talking about here? Elaim l'shmoy, are we talking about where the Ola or the Chakas, the Shech, the Shmoy, Osham Nami l'shiri, then why should it be higher for the Osham? The Osham is also Mechutas Man, either the Gufo or Bebailim. We just said that he's possible for the Chakas, if it's Mechutas Man, the Gufo or Bebailim. Why would the Osham be any different? The Osham also has, it has to be a certain minimum age, and there's a certain minimum date when it can be brought, namely when the person has finished their year. Again, chakas and an osham is a concept of mechusas man v'bailim. You don't have that by other korbanos.
Right.
Oh, right.
They all have
mechusas man v'gufay. We're talking about mechusas man v'bailim. Right. Elo lab shaloi l'shmoi. Obviously, we have to be talking about, in this part of the Braita, we have to be talking about where they were offered shaloi l'shmoi. So the chakas is potter, because the chakas shaloi l'shmoi is potter, looking into everybody. The Osham, he'd be chayev, because an Osham Shalom Lishmoy we're saying is kosher. Now, the point is, again, the Osham is Mechutas Man Bebailim. So the Osham is Mechutas Man Bebailim, and we're saying that if it's also Shalom Lishmoy, then we're saying he's potter. That goes according to the Chilkia. That doesn't go according to the Hona. And again, the answer is, la'olam shaloi l'shmoi, no, because you could say the Braita is talking about where he offered it, shaloi l'shmoi, v'rabbi l'yezah, he demakish, osham l'chachos. Again, this Braita also, this again, it's two halves of the same Braita, can also be like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the osham and the chachos are the same thing, and shaloi l'shmoi possible. And then, right, and therefore, as Rashi has said before, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say, declaring that Shaloi L'Shmoi is not enough to pastor him from, because he could conceivably take it into the Azara and check the property. But here, where it's Mechotu's Man Bebailim, then yeah, he's possible because it's not royal love of his name. Because either it's going to be an Osham, which has to be brought at a certain time, or it's going to be possible. Because there's no such thing as an Osham Shaloi L'Shmoi according to Rabbi Eliezer. There's no such thing that it's a kosher of carbon according to him, it's possible.
It has to be.
Right. No, so therefore, according to Chachamim, an Osham Shaloi L'Shmoi is still a kosher of carbon. Therefore, we can talk about whether it's Roy Lover with him or not. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, not. Right. And therefore, again, Tony Iker, Bechoshikin, Machafel, and therefore, again, so the Braita has mentioned, in this case, it's the other way around, the Braita has mentioned the Iker, the Chakas, which is where Rabbi Eliezer learns that it applies to the Osham, Bechoshikin, Machafel, and we're meant to understand that the same thing applies to the Tafel. How much more so? Before we did the other way around, because before we were talking about when he's Chayef, you were talking about when he's Potter. If you understand that he's Potter on a Chakas, how much more so on an Osham? When it's Mechutas Man. So So again, no proof from this braisa. Because if even the chassas, if even the chassas, which is where we learn that, which is where we learn that that shaloi lishma is possible, how much more so the asham? Because we're learning the asham, because we're learning the asham from the chassas. Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're right. So Rashi says actually that kol shekein is a little hard to understand then how you would. Rashi also adds though that the reason why we're forced to say that this braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda is because we said the other part of the braisa we said would have to be according to Rabbi Yehuda in order to work according to Rabbona. Therefore, in other words, this part of the braisa you don't necessarily have to make according to Rabbi Yehuda. But once you have the other part of the coin to Rabbi Yehuda, then we have to assume the whole thing is a coin to Rabbi Yehuda. At least the coin to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the Chilki Bar Tshuvi doesn't have to say that. The Chilki Bar Tshuvi, who we wanted to use this as a proof in favor of, he could say both parts of the braisa are a coin to the Chachamim. And there is a difference between a chassas and an asher. Okay, so far no proof yet one way or the other, to the Chilki or to the Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Toshma, the Ki Osir of Dimyama, when Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, we learned in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Levoi.
We're still trying to prove.
Rav Chilki Bar Tshuvi, who said that if it's mechus man and shaloi lishmoi, then he'd be chayev in the face of the ashram, versus Rav Huna, who doesn't accept that distinction. So, we learned in a braisa of the yeshiva of Rabbi Levoi, yochol shani moti af oilas mechus man the violin, you would think that we should exclude and say that a person is, and then say that a person is potter for, also, also the oila, where the owner is not yet ready to bring it, he's not yet tar, or that he should be potter for shchotet
pot. Also,
when it's not in addition, we're saying that a person is chayav for shchotet pot. You would think that he should be potter if it's an oila and it's mechotet man b'vayelim, which is what we've been discussing, or asham nazir or asham mesora. The Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Masora. This is the part Minayin and not the Lo Talmuda is Shitta Mukhabesis takes out. Actually, Shitta Mukhabesis adds part of it back in. The Nasiv Lo Talmuda Lo Kiyuva. So the Gemara is assuming that a person is Chaya for those things. The Lo Yadinamai Talmuda, but I don't know. Says Rav Jimmy, I have this Braisa from Rabbi Boy, but I don't understand where is the Braisa learning that a person is Chaya for those things. And Amar Ravina, the Braisa just said, you would think to be moiti also an Oyla Mechotas Man Bebailim and an Oshem Nazar and an Oshem Masara, but according to Rav Dimi's version of the Braisa, didn't say how we know to the contrary that a person is Chayek for those things. So, my Talmud, so where do we learn it from? Amar Ravina, Shur Mekomokam, Kez, Tesef Mekomokam, Eid Mekomokam, because we said earlier on the Amud. We said that since the Pasuk mentions Shur, Oy kesev, oy eid, mechot pamachna, that it means regardless, the person is chayev for these korbanos also, even though the mechot is mandabayalin, because again, in the case of the oila, an oila conceivably could be brought any time. But here we're discussing the asha. So the question is, okay, we're trying to bring this as a proof to one side or the other of this argument between Rav Chilki Bar Tshuvi and Rav Huna. So the question is, the Gemara says, how my Rumya? Okay, so what's the contradiction? So what are you bringing this braisa for? What are you bringing this braisa for? We said before that we could be talking about, but braisa could be talking about, one way of looking at it is a braisa could be talking about shaloi bizmanai and shaloi bishmoi, like a Chilki Bar Tshuvi. Or we could say that it's like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that it's like Rabbi Eliezer, that it's bizmanai and shaloi bishmoi. So what are you bringing in this braisa? What are you trying to get out of it? Kedamer. Kedamus, Amar Rav Nachman. You could answer like you did before, that the braisa is either according to the Chachamim and talking about Mechus Zman and Shaloi Lishmoi, or according to Rabbi Eliezer and say that it's talking about just Shaloi Lishmoi. Amar Rav Nachman, the reason why we're bringing this braisa, we can't say this braisa is talking about this Zman. Mishum de Romi de Tonet Beram Livoi, Adatoni Levi, because then we end up with a contradiction between what it says in this braisa of Rabbi Levoi against another braisa that Levi saw. Namely, the bright that lays thought says, Oshem Nazu v'Oshem Atzara shocked and Shalom Lishman. This Oshem Nazu and Oshem Atzara that was shocked and Shalom Lishman, Shailin, their kosher, like any other Oshem, that's shocked and Shalom Lishman, will let all the Bible Muslim flavor, but they don't count for the owner of the flavor. Fine, that's straightforward. We know that's in the beginning of the chapter. On the other hand, shocked and Machotas, man the Bible, but if you shocked them at a point when it's Machotas, man the Bible, the Nazu of the Atzara is not yet the time for them to be bringing it because it's too early. Or these animals were in their second year, which the Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Atzara, unlike most other Hashemites, have to be an animal in its first year. The Shoftan. No, but it's a different kind of soul, but it's a soul. The Shoftan, and then he shafts them, stolen. Then we're saying they're fossil, because Mechusa's man to buy them, or they're 2 years old. And now that we have the seeming contradiction between the brises, where one says that he should be chayav for them for shchotis, and the other one says it's apostle, that it's mechotis man the violin, so Rabdini answers, like Kasha kam l'shmoy, kam l'sholay l'shmoy. Rabdini answers that one brise is, so when his chayav is shalay l'shmoy, the other one, which says that they're apostle, which means father, is when he shechted them l'shmoy. So therefore, in other words, that's a proof to Rechilfia. Now, so Rashi explains so therefore, we're talking about Shalom Bizmanai and Mechotuz Man. Shalom Bizmanai and Mechotuz Man, and we're saying that he's hired, which is what Rosh Hashanah said. Rashi explains, so what forces Rav Dini so what? There's a contradiction between Brises. So, Dvei Rav Nivoi is not allowed to argue with Levi. So Rashi says, Rav Dini, when he learned from his Rebbein the Braisa about Barley Boy, or the Braisa of Barley Boy, he learned that it's talking about Mechotuz Man.
He was taught
that it's talking about Mechotuz Man. So that led us to a contradiction with the Braisa of Rebbein. It says Mechotuz Man is possible, and that's what forced him to say that one's talking about Bizman, one's talking about Shalom Lishmo, and one's talking about Lishmo. The Sfasemis wants to explain differently. He says, very simple, you could say Rebbein Boy and Levi are the same person. So therefore, they're two different names for the same person. So therefore, you'd have your two brises contradicting each other unless you have a way of reconciling it, which is what he's saying, Shaloy or Shaloy Shmoy. Okay, so then, fine. So we'll stop over here.
This is
Meyer's time. Well, it's Meyer's time now.